do something, do it. But I'm sorry, I forgot that. I messed it up because Sister Gail took my joke. I was going to welcome Brother Brian here with us with Alexa, and that she did it on for me, so I think you all know. But I forgot to do that this morning. I'm sorry. But if you're here today and you consider yourself a visitor, we want to welcome you. I welcome you back anytime you want to come.
Amen.
Be honored to have you here. My message today, I had a couple different ways that I was looking at going, and God took me a certain way, and I wish He hadn't. not that it's anything bad, but over the last couple weeks, if you've watched any kind of news, which I don't watch much news, I'll flip through Facebook or whatever, and I've seen some of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. And this in the last couple weeks. I've seen what seemed to be a very innocent woman sitting on a train and maliciously attacked and killed and left for dead. I have seen a man that was sitting there talking who, from what I don't know a lot about Charlie, but seemed to love the Lord. I don't know if he was saved or where he stood. I didn't really follow him that much, but I saw him shot right in front of my eyes. I saw the remembrance of 9/11 and watching again those planes smash into those buildings and life lost at a huge level. The very next day, I happened to be flipping through and seeing a man that had a disagreement with his boss and beheaded him, kicked his head, and then threw it in the trash. We're not supposed to see those things.
Right.
My old job, when I worked for Indiana Donor Network, and I'd go into the ICU rooms and see these people that were on their deathbeds. And I have seen more people pass away than I ever want to see in my life. I've sat with people. I've sat with their friends. And I have sat with husbands. And as I sit there, and sometimes when, you know, they had family, but they refused to come up and see their mother pass away, I would sit there with him and watch that happen. With all wonderment of, does she know the Lord? I've saw children pass away. I've saw doctors do CPR on a 7-year-old little girl for hours. And it is crushing to see that and to try to imagine at all what that family is going through. We're not made for that. I don't care what your political view is, left, right, I don't think either one of them's got any kind of goodness in them. All that matters is, at the end of the day, for me, how can I lift up the Lord's name?
Amen.
If you're here today and you have got God and you have found Him precious to your soul, all that you should really be asking at the end of the day is, where's God at? And as I look through the Bible and read some very common, very well-known stories of the Bible, or factual history, as I like to also refer to it as, because it's in my full belief of what God has given me and it told me, this is historical. This is not a fictional book that is just written by some men. These things happened, or they were given to men to write to these people so that I could read it for me also. And what I've found is, if there is going to be any kind of fix or any kind of turnaround in our country, and let's not be any kind of self-absorbed or egotistical, it's not just America. If you look, there was a march in Europe, and there was many things that were happening there that was just seemingly evil, that they could be that kind of person. And I've heard things also come from other countries and things that were happening. And the bad thing is, now you can't trust any news.
Right.
You don't know who's telling the truth. Because I listen to one and listen to the other, and they seem to have contradictory stories, so I don't really know for sure. But it seems like this whole earth is covered with evil.
Amen.
The only fix that is ever going to fix us, if there is going to be a fix, has to come from God.
Amen.
That's it. If we are going to see a change in this world, God is going to have to do it. I'm going to start off in Jonah, chapter 4. Actually, I'm going to talk a little bit before there. But if you know the story of Jonah, he was sent to go talk to the people of Nineveh. People of Nineveh were pretty evil people. The Ninevites, they were enemies of the Israelites. They were brutal people and just evil. And God wanted Jonah to go over and talk to them and preach to them. Well, Jonah knew that they were evil people. And Jonah thought, I don't want to go talk to them. So he went the opposite direction, on a boat to a different place. And that's when the whale, great fish, whatever you want to call it, swallows Jonah. He's in the belly of the whale for 3 days and is spit out on the shores of Nineveh. And he goes and he preaches to them. The Bible records, I believe, 7 words that he said. And if you watch the king that commands that they all do the fasting, and they were all turned over their lives to God. A great nation was taken and saved because of God. But sometimes I feel like Jonah, in chapter 4, verse 1. The only verse I've got out of this. So after all this had happened, he turned away and went the other own way. God brought him back in a very miraculous way. Spit him out on the shores. He said maybe 7 words, maybe more, but 7 words are recorded. The whole place is turning their lives around. And how does Jonah feel? Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. I feel like too many times that's me. That's not right. It's not right to be able to watch and see these people that are evil turn their lives over and change them and start a life with God. That's not right for me to think that's evil. We talked about it in Sunday school. Saul, Paul. There is not anyone more evil in the Bible than Saul was. He killed many of God's people. And then there was a change. When God saved Saul's soul and turned him into Paul, renamed him Paul, we see what came from maybe the worst enemy of the Christians to probably one of God's greatest soldiers. As he went from town to town and preached and lifted up God's name, and he was imprisoned for it. He was many times imprisoned for it. He you know, as the God brought him out of that, him and Silas out of that jail, and the guard was ready to kill himself, and he says, don't harm yourself. I'm right here. That was God made that change in him. Don't ever think that anybody is ever too evil to not be able to find God. Because Paul is a great example that's in our Bible. So whoever stabbed that woman on the train, whoever pulled the trigger on Charlie, the man that cut off that other man's head, don't think they're too evil and that God can't save them. Because I don't want to be like Jonah and hear that maybe they find somebody that talks to them about God, and he gets a hold of their soul and saves them, and then I be upset about it. That's not what God teaches. We are to love. Because if there is going to be any kind of salvation, there's going to be God doing it. At the same time, God can also take care of it if he needs to. Don't forget, our God is God. He is big enough and able to take care of us in good times and in bad. And he's done it before. We ever heard of Noah? I'm sure just about all of us have. In the 6th chapter of Genesis, and I'm going to read a little bit here. We know Noah. We know how it all goes. And the world was in a bad place. But he found a little favor in this man named Noah. So in the 6th chapter of Genesis, which I find, I don't know if amusing is the right word, but interesting that we're only 6 chapters into Genesis, and our Lord has created this world, and he's already fed up with living, ready to start again. That's how man is. When Adam sinned and ate of that apple, or fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he brought sin upon the world, and sin has led man since. I am trying every day to free myself of that sin. I'm full of it. And I know, even as we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. Sin is what this body is. I've got, the only thing good of me is what God has given me that sits in my soul. In the 6th chapter of Genesis, starting in the 5th verse, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." The evil that we see on every hand is only being allowed by God. At any point, he can take care of it. Now, he could do that. He said he was going to do it one more time globally at the end of time. That there would be fire rain down on us after his children are lifted off. That there's going to be a terrible time that people are going to try to ask the mountains to fall on them to hide them. People have thought for years and centuries that since it hasn't happened, that it's never going to happen. When Jesus ascended into heaven, I believe the disciples really thought they'd see him come back before they passed away. And here we are 2,000 years later and he's still not come. So obviously it's a lie. I don't believe so. I believe it's coming. I believe the only reason it hasn't come yet is that our God is a very merciful and gracious God, that he's given us more time. Let me take that back. If you're here and lost today, he's given you more time. I'm ready to go. I'm not really want to die today. But if I do, that'd be the best thing that ever happened to me. To wake up in glory with Jesus Christ with a new body that I can sit and praise him forever. Amen. There's many times my wife doesn't like to fly that much. And I look at her and I tell her, as we fly and take off, I said, the worst thing that can happen to this plane is that it lands in the airport safely. That's the worst thing that can happen. The best thing that happens is it smashes into a mountain. I go and see Jesus. God's been good to me for many things. Not because I deserved it. But think back over your life through hard times that you've come through, that he's brought you from. And he has got me to places that I've never thought I'd be. He's brought me out of sicknesses. He's brought me through times of great loss. I lost my mother, grandfather, and my father within 3 years. 2 years. That was tough. I like to think that I'm pretty strong and heavy, unable to be shaken in my mental capacities, that I can go weather the storm pretty well, and that shook me harder than it ever has before. To places where I did things that I've never done before. I'm sorry I did those things. I can't say that, you know, it wasn't me. It was me. But my mental capacities weren't where they needed to be. And if you can't see a mental breakdown in America, you need to look a little bit. You'll see that mental health needs to be addressed more in this country. There are hard times going on. People are in hard times. People are having hard things between money, between jobs, between everything, and they're looking for something, and they fill it with everything they can, whether it be drugs or money or alcohol or whatever. It's just whatever they can do to fill that void. I'm going to tell you what the void is. They need God.
Yes,
some of them know it, some of them don't. Some of them are looking. They know they're hurting. And I think they also know there's nobody that can help them. I don't know if they know about God. I don't know how you make it through the day without God.
Amen.
Talked, I think, last week about praying without ceasing. Having that prayerful heart. I'm going to tell you, I walk around most times and just, it sounds silly, but I'm in my head, and my wife doesn't hear me all the time, but I'm like, well, I think you got to let me get up those stairs. I tell you, when you're getting old and you're kind of fat, you're thankful if you make it up some stairs. As we drive back and forth from Indianapolis to here, there's many things we see on the road. It's like, well, I thank you, Lord, for letting me get through that. And you see people fly by going 90 miles an hour. You see them get angry as they have road rage. And we want to have some kind of thought about them. You have no idea what that person is going through. We need to show a little grace and mercy. That's what God does. That's what He does to me all the time. But sometimes He takes out the whole planet. Sometimes He just gets certain cities. I'm not going to go too much into Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot. I've just got a few verses there in the 19th chapter of Genesis, if you want to flip over. Not so much, but just besides that, we know that Sodom and Gomorrah was evil, again. So much is going wrong, and then they're just doing evil continually. And there's only so much that God's going to put up with. Noah, He put up with it until there was one person left. Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't much different. Starting in the 13th verse of the 19th chapter of Genesis. And it says, "For we will..." The two angels, He sent two angels down to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they went in and had talked to Lot. He had brought them into their house, and men from the city had come into them and tried to take them and do unspeakable things to them. And Lot tried to keep them out, not knowing, I guess, how powerful God's angels are. And when Lot tried to do it and he started to fail, they stepped in and took over. But in the 13th verse, it says, "We will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. It is growing increasingly." Not that these people are just bad. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. "And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which marry his daughters, and said, Get up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws." All right. They're coming to destroy it. They say, you know, go get, if you got anybody else that's going to be good, you better go get them. Kind of a twofold message here. Lot goes out to his son-in-laws. His daughters still lived with him. He had actually much more to the story than going with him. But he went after the son-in-law and said, "Come with us, they're going to destroy the city." His son-in-law thinks he's joking around. For us here today that are saved, That's where Lot's countenance was. That's how much respect they had for Lot. That's how much they believed Lot, that they didn't even believe when he came to them that he was telling the truth. They thought he was just joking around. Lot didn't have a very good rapport with his son-in-laws to know that he believed in God, and that when he found out what God wanted, to trust him. They thought he was just messing around. We know that he left and left out of the city with his family. And as they were leaving the city and going into what ended up being Zoar, his wife turned around and was turned into a pillar of salt. But God had given those people chances. And they just turned away. Our God is love, no doubt. Our God is peace. Our God is also a God of wrath. A lot of churches didn't teach that. It's not fun to think about. I think of him in love. I feel the love that he gives me and takes care of me and somebody. That's a great thing to think about. But to think at the same time for these people that are so evil, at the same time, God has every right to take our lives away, every one of us. He holds us all in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. Heard that song when just a little kid? It's not just a little kid song, it's the truth. He has this whole world in his hand. If he wanted to take this fat guy out right here, right now, he could do it. And you know what? He'd be justified to. He is a sovereign God that is owed everything. He owns us all. So many times, we're just as evil as the evil ones. We turn away from him. We do things contrary that we know is not what God wants, and we'll do them still. What do you think hurts God more? Somebody that doesn't know him doing evil, or somebody that knows God and his love and what he's done for them doing stupid things? What do you think hurts him worse? I can't answer it. But looking at these two examples from earlier in the Bible, of these people turning away, and people just being evil, and just it grew and it growing in their evil state, and knowing what God could do, he's destroyed the world. He destroyed the cities. But if you don't know, he's going to do it again. If you look over in 2 Timothy, my last scriptures I'm going to read today. The third chapter of 2 Timothy, starting in the first verse. And it's even entitled, in my Bible, we've got little titles for certain sections, Perilous Times Shall Come. Third chapter, 2 Timothy, starting the first verse. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I'm going to tell you, if you go through each one of those terms, it sounds a lot like the world. We're talking about disobedience, people that talk against God, people that are proud, people that just break promises, people that just, they love pleasure in themselves more than they love God. He said that's going to be the end of times. I talked about that a little bit before. It doesn't scare me a bit, like I said before. I'm ready. If you're here and know the Lord, you're ready to go. end of times, it's like, hey, that's going to be good times for us. But what does worry me and scare me is that we talked about earlier, Tucker Horton. The end of time is not going to be good for him. Unless he knows the Lord, it's not going to be a good time. Because whether it's the end of time for when you shut your eyes in death, or if he comes back, either one of those, that's it. You don't get to go on until once you've closed your eyes in death, you're going to see Jesus. Lost or saved, doesn't matter. We're going to see him. Every knee will bow at some point. Whether it's here on this earth where you bow and beg him for mercy and get the salvation that he gives, or if you go lost, you're going to stand before him. And at that time, you'll see him and know that he's real. And you'll hit your knees and he'll say, it's too late. It was during this time on earth that we're to find him. Through all the hate and evil that there is in the earth, we can find him today. I found him in 1990, March. I don't remember, it was like the 22nd. On an altar, right in front of the pulpit, right there. I remember the spot. It was at the ordination. It was the exact spot that I sat on. As when they did the ordination. That was where I got saved at. Very special spot to me. Guess what that bench did? Nothing. Didn't do a thing. The only thing that happened to come in, and the only reason I was saved, is because God looked into my heart and knew that I wanted him more than anything in this life. I had given up. I tried to be saved. I tried to ask him for everything. My mom and dad had been in church. My dad was, like I say, the pastor of the church. I had been taught the ways all my life. And if you ask somebody, well, how do you get saved? Well, we can give you some guidelines of, you know, you trust in God. Well, I trust in God. That's all I've ever known is trusting in God. But did I really trust in God? And I found out that I wasn't. When I finally prayed and got to a point that I figured out that I can't do this. I can't save myself. Right. Only God could do that for me. When we get to the baptizing here in a little bit, and we baptize these two, that is not going to save them. Not even a little bit. That water is just going to be a representation to show everybody else publicly that I'm going to join God's church and I'm one of his. And I'm living today with the salvation because of the life that Jesus led on earth, the death that Jesus had on earth, and the resurrection that Jesus had on earth. Amen. That's what this baptizing is. A public display to say that I'm one of his. That's my message this morning. I have been, I think I told my wife very plainly, that I have really given up on the human race. That's what I feel sometimes. Like, man, what can we do? The evil seems so great. You know what? You can't do a thing. All you can do is tell them about God. I think I've said that many times. We can't change people. I can't save a person. I still remember a few weeks back now, the last food drive when Willis came running to talk to us. I don't know where he's at today. He'll probably be on my mind the rest of my life. But he came up and he said, I need something. I don't know what to do. And as I sat there and I held and I talked to him and bowed and prayed with him, you could see the tears streaming down his face. I don't know if anything happened with his soul there. Salvation is not an emotion. You can cry all you want, it don't mean you're saved. Salvation, and it is the worst thing they ever told me. How am I going to know I'm saved, Dad? How am I going to know? You'll know. I'm like, will I? And I'm going to tell you, the day that I got saved, the devil came in immediately after I was saved and told me that wasn't it. And he'll do that. Because if you are saved and you're working for God, that means you are directly an enemy to Him. An enemy to the devil. So he wants to do anything he can to keep you separated and not working for God. If that means he lies to you and tells you you're not saved, he'll do it. He did it to me. And I remember I laid there on my bed before we went back for revival started that night. And I prayed to him. I said, Jesus, God, what do I got to do? What do I need more? What can I do? And he said, son, that's it. You've got it. And I never had anything come so clear to me in my life when I laid in my bed to be like, oh, that's it? I knew I felt joy, but the immediate hit that Satan put on me turned me the other way. I'm like, man, I want to be sure. I was always told how important it was. You've got to know. And I can tell you now that, as we say sometimes, I've heard said, I know that I know that I know. I am certain what God has done for me. Not because of anything that I can tell you, just what I have that I can feel. You can't see it. The only way you're going to see God in me is how I live my life. What I do for Him. That's the only way you're going to see what God did for me. I'm thankful He saved my soul. I'm thankful for life that I have today. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders.
Yes.
That they would also be able to find God the way that I see Him.
Yes.
God has led men to be powerful leaders. To do great things. To see many battles won. Going through the Old Testament, watching David, and even before him, the leaders that brought the Israelites through the wilderness. God took those leaders and made them great. So let's pray for each other.
Yes.
Let's pray for the world.
Yes.
Let's pray for the evil people.
Yes.
They need our prayers.
Yeah.
It just sickens me. I'm kind of like Jonah. And I'm like, man, I don't know. He don't deserve God. Watch out there. That's not what the Bible says. You have to be careful. That's my message this morning. Anything on anybody's heart before we would dismiss this?